Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Digital Forensics Files podcast. I am your host, Tyler Hatch from DFI Forensics. Today, we're going to be talking about brands with brand specialist Ben Baker from yourbrandmarketing.com. Today, we're going to be discussing professional brands, personal brands, and employee engagement. If you don't know what employee engagement is, you're going to want to stick around and find out because Ben's got some really interesting things to say about it, including what it costs to lose good employees and how bad employees who don't buy into your brand can affect your company. Ben, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Tyler, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show today.
My pleasure. It's great to have you here. So Ben, you and I met through LinkedIn. We were running in some similar social circles on there and we connected. And when we did, I realized that you were actually this renowned brand specialist and you're right here in my own backyard in Vancouver. So I was really thrilled to be connected to you. We of course got to chat. We met up for lunch, but I always remember the first thing you asked me on LinkedIn through a message. You asked me, what are you passionate about? And I thought that was a great conversation starter. Why do you like to ask people that question?
You know what? Asking people what they're passionate about is, I do it for a couple different reasons. One, it's a question most people do not expect. You know, it's a question people ask, wonder, you know, they get, how are you? What's your name? What do you do? You know, who do you work for? But what you're passionate about is a question that very few people, if anybody, really asks. And it tells a lot about people because it's not about saying, what do you do? What's the job that you have? You know, are you a marketer? Are you a lawyer? Are you a doctor, et cetera? Mm-hmm. It's what excites you?
Yes.
What are you interested in? You know, what are the things that get you up in the morning? And what are the things that rev your engines? And to me, those are the things I'm more interested in about people than the profession that they went to school about. Because, you know, there's a million lawyers out there, or maybe 100 million lawyers out there, who knows, worldwide. But no two lawyers are the same. Mm-hmm. Each one has their own interests. Each one has their own passions. Each one has a different type of audience that they, you know, that they support and different clientele. They go to work differently. They view the law differently. And it's looking at the passions behind the, you know, behind the people. That's how we find out what people are really about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great way to get a conversation going and really get to the heart of what somebody's all about. The reason why I find it so interesting is because when you asked me that question about 8 months ago, I had a great answer for it. For once in my life, I was able to just say, I'm passionate about life, and I meant it, and it was such a great feeling. When I was lost for quite a while, I had a very, very difficult time answering that simple question of, what are you passionate about? So I'm really thrilled to be running this company and doing something that I really believe in. It's awesome.
Exactly.
I recently talked to a guest on a podcast here, and she was lamenting the fact that people aren't meeting each other on social media anymore. And I actually challenged her position on that a little bit because I think people are meeting each other on social media, and good people like you and me and others like us are getting out there and we're getting beyond the world of social media, and we're actually connecting and we're talking and we're meeting up and we're helping each other succeed. And I think it's amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's very interesting. I mean, I don't know how many people here know the story behind LinkedIn Local. There's a woman in Australia, in Eastern Australia, by the name of Anna McAfee. And one day she went up online and says, who'd like to meet in face-to-face? And that one conversation, that one question sparked over 680 chapters of LinkedIn Local around the world over 2.5 years. And so there's this real desperate need for people to really connect with each other face-to-face, shake hands, look at each other eye-to-eye, and get to know each other better. I mean, yeah. Having connections on LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever, a lot of those people you're connected to, but you're not really connected to them. You don't really know who they are. You don't know what they're about. You see this public persona that is digital, but you don't know the story behind the person.
Right.
And I always find that when I can get off of social media and pick up a phone or jump on a Zoom chat or meet for coffee or whatever, I get to know the person and I get to know who they're really about, what they're passionate about, what they really do, who they serve. And you know what? What gets them up in the morning? And that, to me, that's what's interesting in life.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it just takes a little effort to get out there and do something in terms of meeting people and connecting with them for real. Now, with my social media content, I've fallen into the trap and I recognize it, so I'm trying to change it to a degree, but I fall into the trap of only posting content about my business or my profession. And I've started to try and post content that's relevant to my passions and my other interests in life, mental health, overall health, and wellness, and being a good person. So I try to post some personal stuff as well. And ironically, those are the things that get the most attention for me on platforms like LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's true, because most small business owners, they are the company. You know, they may have one or two employees, but for the most part, who they are as a person is the impetus behind the company itself. You know, and the beliefs, the wants, the needs, the desires, and the mission, vision of the company is one and same of the person who's running it. And that's great. You know, and that's part of small business entrepreneurship. And there's nothing wrong then with letting a little bit of your own personality breathe into your social media, even if it's a corporate page, to be able to sit there and say, you know what? This is who I am as a person. This is who I am as a company. And we're one and the same. You know, people always talk about, oh, you have to have this, you know, this personal corporate balance and, you know, this personal private balance. You know what? It's life. We have life. And a little bit of your business goes into personal and a bit of your personal goes into business. And you need to realize that you're the same person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You may show different parts of your personality to different people, but your personality as a whole is one and the same.
On that point, I guess what we're really talking about now is the brand of the business. So for people who aren't familiar with your line of work and your specialty, can you explain to us what exactly it is that you do?
Yeah, I mean, there's the work that I do is mostly internal within companies. We work with business-to-business companies, companies that are mostly 200 to 2,000 employees. We have a couple companies that we deal with that are larger. You know, I deal with some government agencies that are, you know, one that's 100,000 people. We don't deal with everybody, but we deal with programs within their companies. But what we do is we do a lot of internal communication. We help tell the brand story and develop the brand story within the company so people that work for the company understand the mission, vision, and values of the company and how they fit in. It's about getting people to understand, you know, how to engage employees, how to retain employees, how to grow employees. You know, the stats out there today are disgusting. They say that one in two people out there are actually physically looking for a new job at any particular time because they're so unhappy. And they're also saying that, you know, that a typical employee lost could be upwards of $100,000 expense to a company. So if you lose an employee from the time a person quits to the time you train, you know, you hire somebody, you onboard them, you train them, you get them up and running, in terms of the actual cost itself and the opportunity costs, it could be upwards of $100,000 lost per employee. So it's the work that I do is try to stem that tide and to help build leaders at every level to enable people to understand how they fit into the company, how what they do matters, getting management to understand how to explain that and communicate that value to people, and be able to show people the direction the company's going and how they fit into the overall success of that company.
Ben, when you explain it like that, it just seems so crucial that businesses pay attention to their brand because it affects their sales, their culture, and everything. The brand is really everything about a business. Do you think businesses are aware in general of how important it is and why they have to focus on their brand?
You know, a lot of companies aren't. A lot of companies don't understand what the true cost is for turnover, what turnover is costing, and what it's costing them to have ill-trained employees. I don't know how well your listeners are familiar with the Peter Principle, but the problem with the Peter Principle is you are hired and promoted to your level of incompetence. You know, and that happens more often in companies that they want, because the problem is we take a great salesperson. You know, you get somebody that is absolutely phenomenal. They love being with the customer. They're good at sales. They're making a lot of money for the company, and they make them a sales manager. Well, the skill set needed to be a sales manager or a director of sales or a national sales manager is completely different from being a salesperson. You know, and what you're doing is you're taking somebody out of their element and you're putting them in a brand new role. And 9 times out of 10, it's throw them into the deep end and hope that they swim. You know, there isn't the training that goes on and says, okay, we're going to make you a mid-level manager, a director, a VP, or whatever, and we're going to move you up the ladder and give you more responsibility and hopefully more money with it. But what they're not doing is they're not giving them the training. So you're getting people out there that have no idea how to lead a team, that have no idea how to motivate a team, that have no idea how to, you know, help a team get better. Because what they've done is they've been a salesperson, which is a lone wolf job where you're out there, you eat what you kill, and you know what? You come back to the mothership only to drop off the fresh meat and head out the door again. So taking somebody who's that's their mentality and making them, you know, part of the bureaucratic machine, 9 times out of 10 makes them unhappy.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. What a miserable existence to be so unhappy. That's going to lead to other problems, not the least of which is you're not going to be very good at your job.
Right. And it's not just salespeople. It's any organization. It's when you take people out of doing a job and into managing people, it puts them in a completely different element. And they don't have the skills to be able to be successful in that new element. You know, they're not given mentorship, they're not given training, they're not given coaching, they're not given the skills that they need to be a great manager, a great leader of the people that they're now responsible for. And therefore, it creates havoc through the entire organization.
And low morale, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
What exactly is the Peter Principle?
Yeah, the Peter Principle is really this simple. Is you are hired to your degree of incompetence, or you're promoted to the degree of your incompetence. You know, so basically they keep promoting you to a level where you do not have the skill set to do the job that you're given.
So it's a sink or swim kind of mentality.
It is sink or swim. You know, and it's just, it comes from the fact that people just are not given the training to succeed at the next level.
I can relate to that because I spent some time as a younger person working in the car sales industry. And what you just described is almost to a T what everybody goes through when they progress through a salesperson level through the dealership and get promoted to a sales manager. So you talked about the cost of losing good employees and the value that's lost when you have to replace them and retrain somebody and onboard a new person. So how do we keep employees engaged and happy in the workplace?
You know what? Every business is different. Every employee is different. I mean, here's the simple thing that you do. People, and I don't care if you're 18 years old or 80 years old within a company, you want to be listened to, you want to be understood, and you want to be valued. If we as management, as leaders, as people that are motivating a team, understand that people want to be listened to, they want to be understood, and they want to be valued, we're a long way towards succeeding. You know, those are the keys. Because the problem is a lot of organizations don't take the time to actually listen to their people. You know, it's a dictate from above. Thou shalt do this. And it's not thou shalt do this, and this is why, and this is how what you're going to do is going to help the company, and this is what we're trying to achieve, and these are the goals that we're trying to work with, and this is how you fit into those goals. It's thou shalt do this. And a lot of people, when they're put in that position, and they feel that they don't understand why they're doing what they do, they get frustrated very easily. And when people get frustrated, they start looking for greener grass. You know, I tell the story to a lot of, you know, senior management. Your brand, and a brand is this, the best way to describe a brand is, your brand is how other people see you when you're not in the room. When other people talk about you, when you're not in the room, that's your brand. And what I tell people is your brand is only as strong as your unhappiest employee on their worst day.
Ooh, I like that. That's a really good way to describe what a brand is to a business. Can you tell us who really is doing this branding thing really, really well? Who's a shining example that you can point to illustrate what you're talking about?
You know, I find that the larger the company is, the more challenging it is. I find that, you know what, companies, as they grow, they lose that ability. So I find that smaller companies, where it tends to not be as bureaucratic, it tends to be a lot flatter, there tends to be a lot more engagement within companies, they're companies that are actually doing better. It's when you have systemic bureaucracy and you have policies and procedures out there that are dictated, that's where the situation starts doing it. Public companies, I find, are the worst.
Really?
Because the problem with most public companies, and you know, you're going to overgeneralize, is that, you know, they're now responsible far more to their shareholders and profit than anything else.
Right.
And because you have that external, you know, shareholder that you need to appease on a monthly, quarterly, yearly basis, the mighty dollar becomes far more important than taking care of your employees.
How much of this has to do with a lack of trust from management to the frontline employees?
Everything has to do with trust. Everything has to do with trust. If there is no trust, there's no basis for relationship. You know, and that be you know, salesmen dealing with their customers, you know, different departments dealing with different departments, you know, senior management dealing with mid-management dealing with, you know, junior management dealing with the teams that they're dealing with. If there's not trust within the organization that we're all working together as a team, you're probably going to have a dysfunctional company. In fact, you will have a dysfunctional company.
You know, it's funny talking about this now that I'm on the other side of the equation and I'm the entrepreneur and I have employees. When I was an employee, I always saw these motivational pictures and posters from, like, say, a Richard Branson or some famous entrepreneur talking about how they hire good people and let them do their job. And that always inspired me. But now as an entrepreneur, I have to say, I recognize the difficulty in putting trust in somebody to execute your vision. It's challenging, but it's absolutely crucial to run an effective company.
Well, it all comes down to communication. You need to have, first of all, as an owner of a company, you have to have an absolute clear idea of what you want your brand to be. And then you need to go and live it every single day. You can't just say, this is what I want my employees to do. You have to do it first. Because if you tell your employees you want them to do X and then you're doing Y, people are going to believe that Y is more important than X. And so you as a business owner have to live your ideas and your brand every single day. And you need to be able to sit there and say, you know what, if employee satisfaction and employee health and employees' lives are important, I need to be talking to my employees and not just relying on my senior management to tell me what's going on. I need to be talking to people at various degrees of the company and finding out what's really going on.
One of the principles that I always held very dear to myself as an employee, and I've tried to carry that forward into my business as well, is a desire to simply provide value. So as an employee, if I provide value to my organization, I'm going to earn income because I have more worth to that business. And as an entrepreneur, I set out to provide value above all else, above all other priorities to our clients. And to me, that's the way to really bring success to your business and to build a strong brand. If you're only out to make money and invoice people, your brand is going to be weak, your business is going to lack an identity, and ultimately you're not going to be very successful or happy. What do you think?
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, if money is your only driving factor, then you're 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, you're going to have a poor culture.
Mm-hmm.
You are. You're going to have a poor culture. It's important for people to realize that, yes, we all need to make money.
Of course.
Money pays for health benefits. Money pays for philanthropy. Money pays to do the little things to take care of both clients and employees and making sure that the things get done that make the company different from your competitors.
Yes.
And be able to create an environment that people want to stay with. But if all you're doing is sit there and say, if we're made 24% last quarter, we need to make 26% this quarter, what's going to suffer and what are you going to allow to suffer within your company for the sake of money?
And the funny thing is, Ben, the ultimate irony is if you try to bring value to your clients, you're going to be successful and you're going to make money.
Absolutely.
Now, the reason why I wanted you to come on the podcast is because you're a columnist for BC Business Magazine.
Yep. BC Business Magazine and a couple others, but yes, BC Business.
Very cool. And one of the things you recently did was write an article that was kind of in my world and it blended your world. And I found it really interesting and I paid attention to it and I read the article and I thought it was brilliant. And I thought it would be great to have you on the show and talk about exactly what you were talking about in your article. Now, your article was called Cybercrime, the Ultimate Brand Killer. Can you tell us a little bit about what the article was all about and what the message was that you were trying to communicate to the business community?
Yeah, I mean, the premise is, and I'm not a data expert by any way, shape, or form. Yes, I have a technology background. Yes, I'm absolutely neurotic and I'm backed up, you know, both locally and on two different cloud servers. And,
well done.
You know, have a firewall that could probably kill an elephant. But I hire people to take care of all that. What my thought process is, if and when there is a data breach, yes, you've been compromised, but so have your customers.
Yeah.
And your customers are terrified.
Yes,
your customers are terrified of what might happen because there's nothing scarier than to people than the unknown.
Yeah.
And if they, you know, all of a sudden hear crickets from you and you're blocking them and you're not giving them information, you're not enabling them to understand how that they can turn around and protect themselves from what could happen as an outflow, the trust that they've had in you is gone.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely gone. So yes, you need to protect yourself and you need to protect your own, you know, business and be able to take care of it. But you also have to realize that you need to make sure that your customers are taken care of. It's not a data breach, but I look at the Listeria outbreak that Maple Leaf Foods had, I don't know what it was, a decade ago or so.
Yep.
And, you know, several people died.
Wow.
I mean, we're not talking a data breach, we're talking death.
Yeah.
You know, several people died. And instead of, you know, McCain standing up and doing what he did, and he got up and said, this is what happened, this is where we are, this is where we're going. And he stood in front of the media for days, weeks, and months to make sure that everybody knew exactly what was happening, what they were doing to fix it, what the ramifications were, and what the next steps were. He did it himself. He didn't get the lawyer to do it. He didn't get the PR people to do it. He didn't hide behind executive privilege. He stood up and said, you know what? We made a mistake. We're going to take care of this. And the Maple Leaf brand is probably stronger today than it was prior to that breach. You know, and a lot of it comes down to the fact that it says, yes, we as businesses are going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. I'm sure you make mistakes. Probably everybody who listens to this podcast has made a mistake in their business at one type or another.
For sure.
It's when we can own up to it and sit there and say, you know what? We made a mistake. We're sorry.
That's the key.
This is what we're doing to fix it. And we're going to let you know what we're continuing to do to fix it until it's fixed. And then we're going to let you know what we did to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And if you're willing and able to do that, people will forgive you. People will forgive people who stand up and admit their mistakes and their shortcomings and own up to their responsibilities. The companies that sit there and hide behind legal, you know, loopholes and PR firms and whatever and take no responsibility for anything, those are the firms that get killed in the long run. Because it's not the crime that's the problem, it's the cover up. And if you try to cover stuff up, people will find out and you will get killed and decimated both in the media and also, you know, in your pocketbook, because people will go looking sooner or later. As soon as they can find somebody to replace you, they will.
That's interesting, and it actually reminds me of this recent Government of Canada scandal involving SNC-Lavalin. So Prime Minister Trudeau was accused of interfering with Jody Wilson-Raybould's prosecutorial discretion. And so this yeah. whole issue comes up, and they're saying the other one's not saying the correct thing and that they're lying. And all of a sudden, Jody Wilson-Raybould pulls out this recording that she made on her phone, and things become a lot clearer. And all of a sudden, her version of the truth is heavily favored. That's very much a digital forensics thing. That's what we do. We look to the digital evidence to respond to two people telling the different story. And all of a sudden, the government's, instead of denying it, they're saying, well, you shouldn't have made that recording.
How dare you record me and catch me in a lie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what a poor play. So it just seemed to look really bad on the government when all of a sudden they're saying, yeah, okay, well, fine, you caught me there, but you shouldn't have made the recording. And now they're coming forward and they're saying, okay, fine, we did
right.
interfere, but we had a really good reason for that. We were trying to protect Canadian jobs. Great. That's an admirable thing to do. That's a good thing to do. I would have stood behind the decision to interfere if the government came forward and said that that's what they were doing in the first place. But now it's too late. You can't deny. And now that you're caught red-handed, say, well, I had a really good reason for doing it.
Right. And, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. You know, we don't have to go that far. It's mid-August now. By mid-October, we'll find out what the Canadian public feels about that and whether they're going to let it lie or they're going to be so outraged that the Liberals will be out of power. And that's the beautiful thing, is that there are ramifications.
Yeah, always. So Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because I noticed on your website that your personal life features prominently in your brand. So you're talking about your being a husband and a father and a member of your community. Why is it important for you to share those aspects of your life with your clients?
Well, as I said at the beginning of the talk, it says, when you're a small business owner, your personal life and your corporate life are one and the same. I am one person. And it's all the, you know, what I do corporately relies a lot on what I do, on what I believe, you know, personally. You know, my beliefs are my beliefs are my beliefs. And my ethics stay with me whether I'm talking to somebody one-on-one or if I'm talking to a corporation. I'm going to believe the same things, I'm going to act the same way, and I have the same trigger points. Mm-hmm. There's things that I will stand for, there's things that I will stand against. You know, I have fired clients, and
yep.
you know, the reason I have fired clients is because of lack of trust.
Totally.
You know, and lack of communication. And when you believe in certain things, it doesn't matter whether it's as a company or as a person. When you're a company my size, and you know, it's a consultancy, so there's only a few of us. You know, everything relies back on me. You know, I am the company, and the company is me. So when I talk about my family, and I talk about golf, and I talk about, you know, when I talk to people about the Tour de France, or I talk about people about, you know, going out and going on a long drive with friends and family. You know, those are all things that are important to me. You know, family, friends, and community. Those are things that are important to me, and I bring those into the way I do business.
I love that message. That's really important to be like that. I certainly aspire to be like that and to share those values that you share, and I think that's probably why we get along so well. So, Ben, I want to talk about your website now. I noticed you've got a ton of great content on there. You've got free assessments. You've got an ebook. You've got this article that people can download, Top 10 Ways to Keep Employees Engaged in the Workplace. If people want to work with Ben Baker and your brand marketing, what's the best way for them to reach out to you and get in contact with somebody to start working on their brand now?
You know what? The best way to reach out to me is you can always get to me through the website. There is a tool on my website where you can book a 30-minute free Zoom chat. I'm happy to always take a conversation with somebody, find out where you are, what you're doing, what you're trying to achieve. And if I can help you, I'd love to work with you. And if I can't help you, I'll try to find you the right resource. You know, I'm a big believer of, if I can't help you now, let me at least point you to the right people who can. And that always comes back to me. So I'm always happy to have those conversations with people. You know, the work I do with people tends to be intense. You know, I believe in long-term relationships. Some of my clients have been with me for 15 or 18 years, and we, you know, we do good work together. And, you know, it's about understanding, what are your goals? What are the things that are important to you? Where are you today? Where do you want to be? And let's help you bridge that gap. So the best way is through my website at yourbrandmarketing.com. People can always get in touch with me there. My email's there. My phone number's there. My social media's there. You know, you could even my radio show is there. So you can get everything in one place.
Great stuff, Ben. I really appreciate you taking the time out to join me on the podcast and to share your insights with our listeners. May you enjoy all the continued success in the future, my friend.
Tyler, thank you very much for having me on the show. I really enjoyed this.